Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 112.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. We ask members and guests to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Abe Jones. We'd ask our members to stand for the prayer as well as the pledge thereafter, as well as our guests in the gallery.
Good morning. Bear with me a moment while I read just a small passage of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father God, look down on us this morning. Know our souls. Know our hearts. Help us to have goodwill toward our fellow man and woman. Help us look out for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Know that the greatest gift that you give to us other than your love is our ability to love one another. So I pray this morning that we will love one another as you have loved us. And this I ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
The flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for August 18th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for August 18th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 301, an act to allow the expulsion of three nonviolent felonies, to expand the definition for the term nonviolent felony, to allow the public defender or public counsel to file petition for expulsion on behalf of the person eligible to expunge certain offenses committed under the age of 18, and to allow the access of expulsion records to determine conditional charge eligibility. House Bill 84, an act to apply premises restrictions for certain sex offenders, to clarify expunction misdemeanors, and to amend a law that imposes residential restrictions on sex offenders to provide that the 1,000-foot restriction is to be measured from the property line to the property on which the school or child care center is located. House Bill 352, an act to clarify the occupants of accommodations provide hotels, motels, and similar lodging, do not create tenancy, and are not subject to Chapter 42 of the federal statutes, to clarify that these occupancies are covered by the statutes related to inns, motels, and other transient occupancies. House Bill 366, an act to provide further regulatory relief to the citizens of North Carolina. House Bill 398, an act to repeal pistol purchase permits. House Bill 481, an act to allow each department, agency, institution, commission, and bureau of executive, judicial, or legislative branch of North Carolina, the campus police of law enforcement agencies of the constituent institution of the University of North Carolina, to sell, trade, or otherwise dispose of any or all surplus weapons in their possession or any federal licensed firearms dealers to provide that the 20-year waiting period of petition of the court have firearm rights restored in the out-of-state conviction of a calculated just like the 20-year waiting period for the North Carolina conviction and to authorize local law enforcement officers to purchase prior weapons used.
Chapter bills will be noted. Mr. Court members, chair has additional conferees to appoint. These were inadvertently omitted from the list yesterday. Add the following members as conferees for the House. Representatives Brisson, Elmore, Goodwin, McElraft, McNeil, Carson Smith, Eiler, and Shepard. Senate will be so notified. Message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
House Bill 415, Senate Committee Substitute Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to update various laws of practice and licenses of chiropractic for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Calendar Pursuant to Rule 36B and today's calendar without objection. So ordered.
House Bill 489, Senate Committee Substitute Fifth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide various building codes for development regulatory reforms for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute.
Counter Pursuant to Rule 36B, counter for day without objection. So ordered. Representatives Richardson Stevens recognized and sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Richardson Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee Report, Senate Bill 636, Donor Privacy, Favorable House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute will be counter without objection. Day's calendar. So ordered. Representatives Richardson and Stevens are recognized and sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Richardson and Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee Report, Senate Bill 490, License to Work, Favorable House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute, counter 36B, objection day's calendar. So ordered. Or strike that, actually. Chair's going to counter that for Tuesday next week. Representative Brody, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Brody, Local Government, Land Use Planning and Development Committee Report, Senate Bill 316, General Contractor, Plumbing, Electric, Exempt, Favorable, and Referred to Regulatory Reform.
Chair, strike the referrals to reg reform and rules. Counter 36B, without objection, day's counter. So ordered. Calendar, House Bill 415. Clerk will read.
Representative Setzer, Lambeth, Everett, and Moffitt. House Bill 415, a bill to be entitled an act to update various laws for practice of licenses of chiropractic. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with the Senate proposed changes to House Bill 415.
The gentleman has moved that the House concur with the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 415. Does the gentleman wish to debate the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, members of the body, the changes that were made in the Senate actually made the bill a better bill, and it was more in agreement with the entire chiropractic industry, and I would ask for your support.
For what purpose, lay from wait? Representative Adcock, rise.
To ask the representative a question, please.
Representative Setzer. Gentlemen, yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Setzer. Great job in telling us it made the bill better. Can you hit the highlights at least for us and some general things that were changed since we haven't seen this bill in a while? Is that possible?
It is, Mr. Speaker. If you don't mind displacing this bill, I need to get that file.
I really appreciate that.
I was not expecting it. House Bill 489, I believe this will be either a motion to concur or not concur. The clerk will read.
Representatives Brody, Radio, Liston, Hall, and Hunter, House Bill 489, a bill to be entitled an act to provide various building code and development regulatory reforms. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we concur with House Bill 489. Gentleman has moved that the House concur. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you. And members, there were two provisions that were offered in the Senate that are really good. Number one from Senator Woodward was dealing with what they call accessory buildings. In other words, a person who builds an accessory building, meaning like a rental apartment, a mother-in-law apartment, et cetera, on an existing house, can hook up to the existing plumbing from to an existing plumbing on the house as long as it passes code. And the other deals with DOT provision, which I think some of you probably ran into this difficulty. It says that within 90 days, DOT, if the roads are built, subdivision roads are built to DOT standards, DOT has to take them within 90 days. Thank you very much.
For what purpose, the lady from Guilford? Representative Harrison, rise.
To briefly debate the motion.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I want to thank Representative Brody for continuing to negotiate this bill with me. I appreciate his efforts to work also with DEQ to take out the worst parts of the bill, but I fundamentally believe that we are looking at a weakening of our Sedimentation Erosion Control Act that has been very important for protecting water quality in our state. We've heard concerns from the environmental community and from the League of Municipalities, and both of them are concerned about the fee limitation piece. Many of these programs have been delegated to the local level. And Representative Brody will point out to you that the disparity between the amounts that are charged vary from zero to $600 or $650 in Winston. But that's to pay for the staff that these local governments have hired and dispatched to work on these issues. And the large growing areas may be charging more because they need more staff and they need more inspections. So the cap here is $100. I believe that's $100 in the bill. And you know, right now, Winston-Salem is charging $650, so I don't know how that is going to be made up, except for maybe by the taxpayers of Winston-Salem. And the recent budget, we actually had a raise in fees for sedimentation and erosion control permits to $150, so that would be a nicer compromise. The other issue that I hear a lot about, and Representative Brody, to his credit, has tried to explain this to me, but there's still concerns for folks about the transfer of financial responsibility, and that is a big concern about the liability that goes from the builder to the homeowner, and then self-inspections and rain gauges. I spoke extensively about this on the first floor debate. I don't want to waste your time on this. I just I appreciate that he's worked hard on this bill, but I still think it's ultimately our environment's going to suffer, especially the water quality, and I urge you to vote no. Thank you.
What purpose, lady from Mecklenburg? President Belk, rise.
To ask the bill's sponsor a question.
Representative Brody, gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
Hey, thank you. And this is about the orphan roads. I just wanted to get some clarifying. You're saying that the roads, the DOT has 90 days, but that is that after they come up to the qualifications to qualify for the DOT acceptance? In other words, they have to have been repaired enough so that DOT would take them off, that they apply for that, for DOT to take over.
That's correct. The DOT, once the engineering department approves that they have been built to DOT standards, then they have 90 days in which to take them over.
And this has nothing to another question, follow-up question?
Ladies recognized for a series of questions.
Thanks. And so this has nothing to do with the fact or any program that will help the people who need those offering roads fixed. It has nothing to do with the financing or the help or the program for that. It's just solely that once they get to that point, DOT has to then, within 90 days.
Yes, basically this is new construction. New construction doesn't deal with that, but yet the impetus to do that was exactly from what you are saying. Is there a lot of roads out there that DOT had promised to take over and never did, and then 15, 20, 25 years later, they're need repair, and DOT says, well, we don't want to take those because they need repair. The other thing is the DOT standards might have changed along the years, so they may have qualified then, but not now. So that this is actually the start of the end of that situation. But to go back, that's a whole different bill. You might want to check into that one.
Okay. Thank you. Can I just one more follow-up, please? So I'm sorry. So we are addressing new roads. So if a developer says that they do not, that this is a private road, it would not have anything to do with that. We're just talking about new roads. Is that what you...
Okay. Can you repeat that again, please?
So what you're saying is what we're talking about here is not those orphan roads that from 20, 25 years ago, but new construction.
That's correct. That it's kind of typical. We, when we do laws, we say, okay, it's hard to go retroactive, but we're going to say, look, we understand the problem. From now on, we're solving that problem.
And one more follow-up question. But the developer can still say that this is a private road and not want DOT to initially take over it, or are you saying that any roads that a developer has to be up to DOT standards?
No, you can build a road according to whatever standard the local government decides to allow.
Okay.
This is just the ones that have designated that, yes, we want these roads to be taken over by DOT.
Okay. Thank you.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardis, to rise.
Supervisor Brody, yield for a question.
Representative Brody, gentleman yield?
Yes, sir.
Yields.
And this is a friendly question, Representative Brody, but following up on that line of questioning, we've had this situation arise in Guilford County where subdivisions will bring the roads up to standard, but if the DOT doesn't take them over in a reasonable period of time, then they could fall into disrepair, and that cost would end up being incurred by the homeowners. Is that accurate assessment?
That's an accurate assessment of what that happens, but this bill doesn't address that. Unless the engineering department reviews and decides that they're going to take them over, this bill actually says if you're building with the intent of having DO take them over and the engineer, and you get done, the engineering department approves it, then they have to take it. DOT can always take over roads whenever they want. It's just they don't have to, though.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question before the House, the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute, House Bill 489. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Setzer, wish to vote. Representative Pierce, wish to vote. Representative Martin on the floor. Hawkins, Galliard. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 74 have voted affirmative. 18 in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 489. Bill was ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Let's go back to House Bill 415. Representative Setzer has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, there were several small changes made to the bill. Section page 3, line 44, case clinical care of patient was added to the records. There were several additions like this. Patient was added to the records. One interesting fact that was added, which has made the bill better, the new language added a cap to the amount a licensee can be fined in a single hearing. If a licensee is found responsible for multiple violations in the same disciplinary action, the maximum cumulative fine assessed shall not exceed $1,000. That was in the House version of the budget, and it was a provision that was worked out in the Senate. I know of no opposition or controversy at this time. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 415. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 92 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 415. The bill is ordered and rolled, sent to the governor. Senate Bill 316. Clerk will read.
Senators Jarvis, Johnson, and Britt, House Bill 316, a bill to maintain an act to allow for certain exemptions for flooding, heating, and sprinkler electronic contractors. General Simmons, North Carolina.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, this is a response to a situation that happens on a regular basis, mainly in new home construction, but in commercial too. What happens is your HVAC or your water heater, if it's electric, goes out, and you call a plumber or an HVAC person to come and fix it. The problem is, or the problem that arises, is that these also have electrical hookups to it. So what this bill does is allow the plumber or HVAC person to disconnect and reconnect the electrical portion of the of that particular repair. And of course, you've got to remember this, these get inspected also afterwards. In fact, sometimes remotely. But anyways, they get inspected. But that's what this is about, allows them to do that. Currently, it's allowed in public buildings, but now we're defining it as basically any building. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 316 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Sets are aye. Shepherd, Representative Shepherd, wish to vote? Clerk will light machine record the vote. 92 haven't voted in the affirmative. None of the negative. Senate Bill 316 passed the second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina and aye.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 316 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 316, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Actually, strike that. That bill will be ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. For what purpose, gentlemen from Guilford? Representative Quickrise.
Please forgive me, Mr. Speaker, and mark me as voting aye on 489.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 489. Senate Bill 636, the clerk will read.
Senators Sanderson, Steinberg, Crowley. Senate Bill 636, a bill to be entitled an act to protect the privacy of charitable donors. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I ask leave to have staff on the floor in case there's a technical question I might need some help with?
Permission is granted.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I highly recommend this bill to you. I think it's fair to say that we first ought to think about what it does and what it does not do. What it does is attempt to protect privacy rights. That's something that we frequently hear discussion about in committees and on the House floor. This is designed to say that if you are a donor to a charitable organization, that unless you give your permission, you don't have to worry that someone is going to disclose your name broadly or to other folks who may have other purposes in mind than just being well informed. What it does not do is change any of our state's laws or federal law as to what must be disclosed and to whom with respect to election contribution, election monies, monies designed to influence elections. The question of whether our current laws in dealing with those disclosures are as broad or as tight as some might like is a question, I think, for another day. This case sort of follows, I think, it's fair to say, on the heels of two U.S. Supreme Court decisions separated by 40, maybe 50 years. The first arose in the state of Alabama when the officials, governmental officials in Alabama, tried to force the Alabama NAACP to disclose its membership list. Supreme Court said, no, that can't be required. Much more recently, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case that came from California, said that the state attorney general there could not require the disclosure by charitable organizations of their donor list or amounts. We're simply saying in North Carolina we're going to adopt that policy and that the provisions of the bill try to make it clear that it applies to all these charitable organizations, that there is a way for disclosure if the donor says it's okay, and that federal and state laws requiring disclosures remain in effect and unchanged. I would ask the House to agree to the adoption of this very good bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To send forth an amendment.
Ladies recognize send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Harrison moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 19, by inserting the following at the end of the line.
Lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, Representative Blackwell, for that explanation. There are a lot of concerns about the impact of what this bill means for the explosion of dark money in our elections that we've experienced since the Citizens United decision. And this bill right now applies to all charitable organizations, if I'm correct, which means C3s, C4s, C6s, which are trade associations. So my amendment is meant as a compromise, would limit the application of this disclosure of donors only to C3 organizations, the churches, the food banks, the art museums. If that's really the intent of this bill, to protect donors to those nonprofits, those 501c3s, that the bill, that this amendment would limit the bill, that application of the bill. And I guess I probably goes into the merits of the bill if this amendment doesn't pass, but I think that you can't understate the influence all of this dark money has had on our elections. It's tens of millions of dollars, and it's increasing exponentially every election cycle. The public is very concerned, and the public at the polling shows a really strong support for more transparency in who's donating to campaigns. I think that the way this bill is drafted is going to make it easier to exploit loopholes to fund in multiple different nonprofits as they get involved in campaigns. And I think that this bill limiting it to C3s would limit the impact, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise.
First, I'd like to say...
Jim's recognized to debate the amendment.
Yes. Sincere thank you to Representative Harrison for sharing with me, before we got started today, her interest in this amendment. I would ask the House to vote no, to reject this amendment. The real threat is to our freedom of association, our freedom of speech. This amendment would leave the door open to attacks on donor list and membership list from multiple charitable organizations because they qualify with the Internal Revenue Code under some section other than 501c3. That's not the way we should go about this as a policymaking body. If Representative Harrison wants to require disclosures from these other organizations for policy reasons, let's discuss those in separate legislation. Put forth an amendment to another bill, or to put forth another bill. Let's go to election law. I think, as someone pointed out, we can still file bills dealing with elections and propose broadening disclosure requirements. That's the way to deal with issues where there are legitimate concerns about undisclosed contributions that maybe should be disclosed, or about failure to disclose contributions that are already required. But I would urge the House to protect our donors, protect freedom of association, protect freedom of speech. This applies across the aisle, regardless of your political view. Let's don't make our donors and all those other charitable organizations the targets of either right or left.
What purpose the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the amendment a second time.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I failed to mention that this really does, in this particular bill, seems to be a solution in search of a problem. We have not had this experience here in North Carolina. Yes, they did have it out in California and Alabama, but this is not an issue here. I think that the need
the potential for hiding conflict of interest is problematic in terms of policymaking. This is just rife with potential abuse by codifying loopholes that exist in terms of campaign funding. So I would just encourage you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Harrison. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Division.
In the opinion of the chair, the noes have it, but division, having been called, question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Court will open the vote. Representative Sasser, wish to vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record a vote. 34 having voted in the affirmative and 57 in the negative. The amendment fails. We are now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. Away from Guilford, Representative Harrison, recognize debate the bill.
I'm going to defer to my colleague, Representative Morey.
What was that? I'm sorry.
All right, I'd like to defer to my colleague, Representative Morey. I just want to make sure the light was on.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you. To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor.
Members, I think this bill has a lot in it that we really don't understand. It's been rushed from committee at 8:30 onto the floor. I think what Representative Harrison said, there are a lot of unintended consequences. A very similar bill was introduced in Michigan. It was passed and it was vetoed by the Republican governor. That the bill went way too far. And we talk about free speech, we talk about free assembly. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about money. Money that has power, money that has power to influence, and oftentimes money that has power to corrupt. If this amendment of Representative Harrison's had passed with the C3s only, it would make it a much better bill. But what we're doing here is the wrong way to go when our public is wanting more disclosure, more clean elections, better finance laws. So I urge you to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House. Is the passage of Senate Bill 636 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The court will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 58 having voted in the affirmative and 34 in the negative. Senate Bill 636 passed the second reading. Without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly is no climbing next.
For what purpose the gentleman from Wayne? Representative Smith rise. Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 636 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. Senate Bill 636 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Representative Brody recognized sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Brody, Local Government, Land Use, Planning and Development Committee Report, House Bill 853, Plan Review and Certificate of Occupancy, Scope Changes, Favorable Committee Substitute Number 2, Unfavorable Committee Substitute Number 1, and re-refer to Appropriations.
Committee Substitute Number 1 is placed on the unfavorable counter. Committee Substitute Number 2 is re-referred to the Committee on Appropriations. Representative Brady, could the gentleman approach the dais, please?
Members, we have concluded our business for the week, and we will have recorded votes Tuesday of next week, Wednesday, and probably Thursday of next week. There will be no recorded votes on Monday, so Monday's 4 p.m. session will simply be a no vote skeletal session. So with that, notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, rise?
Personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Well, it wasn't too long ago that I was watching Billy Graham on TV, and it was late at night and after midnight, as I remember, and he was talking about being saved, and it was to a group of about, looked like to be 60,000 people. And he looked out at the group and he says, "You never know. Your casket might already be in town." And of course, the 60,000 people got his point, but they burst out laughing. And so today I wanted to, not knowing what my future holds, I wanted to wish my mom and dad, Norris and Libby Hastings, in Shelby, North Carolina, a happy 65th wedding anniversary. And I'll say this part about them. When I used to work for Congressman Taylor and I would go to D.C., they would say, "Well, where are your family members from?" And I would say, "Well, my mom is from Newhouse and my dad is from Delight." And they would say, "Well, we're not sure where that is. Where is that?" And I would say, "Well, let's put it this way. My mom from Newhouse had to go to Lattimore to get to town. And my dad from Delight had to go to Kayser to get to town." And of course, that confused them even more, but it was fun to do that, to talk about rural North Carolina. And so I wanted to say this today to both of my parents who came from farms, small farms. I wanted to reiterate that I wish them an extremely happy 65th wedding anniversary. Thank you.
Congratulations. What purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
I just want to change my vote on 636 to yes instead of no.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 636. For what purpose, the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Those of you who know Fred Stanback, who's one of the biggest environmental philanthropists in the country, he tragically lost his son yesterday, I think, hiking in Death Valley. So I ask that you hold his family in your thoughts and prayers.
Thank you. For what purpose, the lady from Cabarrus, Representative Baker, rise?
For an announcement.
The lady has the floor.
House Health will meet at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Thank you.
Any further notes or announcements? For what purpose, the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to change my vote on HB 489 to yes.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on House Bill 489. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Monday, August 23rd at 4 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Bell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, August 23rd at 4 p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Representative Brody is recognized to send forth two committee reports. The clerk will read.
Representative Brody, Local Government, Land Use Planning and Development Committee, report House Bill 821, award attorney fees in certain land use cases, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 821, the C referral to rules is stricken. The bill is re-referred to Judiciary 1. C referrals to appropriation and to rules are added. Clerk will continue.
Representative Brody, Local Government, Land Use Planning and Development Committee report, Senate Bill 329, Building Code Modifications, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer to rules, calendar, operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, House Committee substitute, Senate Bill 329, refer rules. On motion of the chair, House Bill 853, Plan Review and Certification of Occupation Scope Changes, and that would be occupancy scope changes, withdrawn from the Committee on Appropriations and re-referred to local government. Zero referral to rules are stricken, but zero referrals to appropriations, if favorable rules, are added. So ordered. Messages from the Senate. Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, August 19, 2021. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate failed to concur in Senate Bill 257, House Committee Substitute Fifth Edition, bill to be entitled an act to promote pricing transparency for patients and to establish standards and criteria for the regulation and licensure of pharmacy benefits managers providing services for health benefit plans in North Carolina and requests conferees. President pro tempore appoints Senator Perry, Chair, and Senators Rabin, Britt, and DeVere on the part of the Senate to confer with a like committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Clerk of the Senate. The Speaker appoints the following conferees for House Bill. Pardon that. The conferees on behalf of the House for Senate Bill 257 will be Sasser, Chair, Bell, Destin Hall, Potts, and Adcock. Senate will be notified by special message, and of course, the special message from the Senate is noted. Further special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, August 19th, 2021. Mr. Speaker, is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the second report of the conferees for Senate Bill 314, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to provide additional tools for the Local Government Commission to assist local government units avoid and correct fiscal distress that requires that the impact of the changes on sales distribution formulas be delayed until the fiscal year following the initial decision to mandate that the statement from the Local Government Commission be included in the petition to the General Assembly when a new municipality is proposed, and to add optional resources for training for finance officers to allow the Local Government Commission to mandate specialized training for city and county managers when a unit is exhibiting fiscal distress to establish a process with the municipality to initiate a transition to recover from financial distress and to establish a process with the Local Government Commission to transfer the assets, liabilities, and other obligations and dissolve municipalities determined to be financially distressed. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Hahn, Principal Clerk of the Senate, noted.